So today is the disappearance day of Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So we'll speak a few things about his life, some of his pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, some of his activities here in Vraja, some of his writings. And if anybody wants to add something at the end, too, we'll leave some time for that. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is one of the younger of the six Goswamis, there was almost like a generational gap between the three elder Goswamis and the three younger Goswamis. You know, Sanatana Goswami was of course the eldest, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. But then you have like Jiva Goswami, who is the nephew of Rupa and Sanatana, and also Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was the son. He was the son of Vyankata Bhatta, who was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya in South India. He was actually the head pujari of Sri Rangam Temple, which is one of the biggest temples, probably the biggest temple in South India at that time. So, and similarly, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was also the son of Tapina Mishra. So they were the sons, the later three of the Goswamis, they were actually sons of other great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And they came and stayed in Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he came and stayed in Vraja for 45 years and did many amazing things, which we'll describe later. But first we'll describe how his parents met Lord Chaitanya and how he had an experience of Lord Chaitanya and got to serve Lord Chaitanya as a very small child of just 7 years old. So we know that after accepting sannyas, Lord Chaitanya did a Tirtha Yatra of all the holy places of India. And during the time when he reached South India, it was the start of Chaturmasya season, the 4 months of the rainy season. So he came and he visited Sri Rangam. And, you know, when he entered Sri Rangam, it was such an amazing atmosphere. There was literally hundreds and thousands of devotees, you know, moving in and out of the gates of Sri Rangam, and the sounds of the Vedic mantras were being sung in unison by, you know, thousands of brahmanas, and it was quite a scene from Vaikuntha. And so Lord Chaitanya entered there, and he entered and he was just chanting Krishna Sankirtan. He was just entering the temple and chanting the names of Krishna, and it was so ecstatic that the people had not seen anything like that. And the way that he was chanting the names of Krishna with so much feeling, and also with so much visible ecstatic transformations in his body, the people had never experienced anything like that before, and they thought, these symptoms are not possible in a human being. Perhaps he's some demigod or something, they were speculating. Anyway, so Vyankata Bhatta, who was the head pujari at that time, he saw these symptoms and this ecstatic kirtan that Mahaprabhu was doing, and he thought, this is somebody very special. So he immediately came down into the crowd of people and started making room in the crowd so that Lord Chaitanya had room for dancing and chanting Krishna's name. And then later, after some time, after Lord Chaitanya had come to more of an external consciousness towards the end of the kirtan, and then he talked to him, he approached him, and he said that, you know, it would be my great fortune if you could please come and take prasadam in my house, please come and visit my house. And Lord Chaitanya agreed. And Vyankata Bhatta and his two brothers, Tirumala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati, who's also another great author in our line, great stalwart, who also spent the large part of his life here in Vrindavan. He was a sannyasi in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, even at the time when Lord Chaitanya visited, and later he came and stayed here and wrote many amazing books like Vrindavan Mahimamrita and so on. So Vyankata Bhatta and his two brothers, Tirumala Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati, they washed the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and they distributed all that water to the family members, and all the family members, including Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they drank the foot washing water of Lord Chaitanya. And from that they gained a very strong feeling of devotion towards him. And, you know, even though they invited him there for one day, Vyankatapata was very smart, and he said, you know, now it's the rainy season, it's just started, Chaturmasi has started, it's against the sannyas dharma to travel in this season, you should stay in one place, so please stay at our home for 4 months. So they managed to capture Lord Chaitanya in their house for 4 months, and they served him every day very nicely. And especially Gopal Bhatta, who, like I mentioned, he was only 7 years old at that time, but he developed such a strong attachment, such a strong affection for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya would often take Gopal Bhatta on his lap and you know, caress his head. And sometimes, you know, Gopal Bhatta, as a small boy, would just shed tears out of affection. Lord Chaitanya would also shed tears that fell on his head. And after Lord Chaitanya would accept his meal, whatever was left, he would personally offer the remnants to Gopal Bhatta as a small boy. So in this way, 4 years, not 4 years, 4 months passed, and there was many interesting discussions in that time too. There's the famous discussion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that's recounted about, you know, Lord Narayan and Lakshmi, and why does Lakshmi want to... Lord Chaitanya jokingly asked one day, he asked to Vyankatapata, he said, "You're all great devotees of Lakshmi Narayan here in Sri Rangam, but please tell me one thing. Why is it that your Lakshmi leaves the company of her husband, Lord Narayan, and goes to try and do austerities to enter into the rasa dance with Krishna?" And Vyankatapata took it in a very light way, and he said, "Oh, this is what is the problem with this? Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna are two aspects of the same one person. They're the same person, so there's no fault on Lakshmi for doing this. It's not unchaste or anything like that." So they were having some more discussion about this, and then the discussion went on to go about how, you know, why is it that Lakshmi, even after doing austerities, was not allowed to enter into the rasa dance. She did get the good fortune of becoming a golden lion on the chest of Lord Krishna. There's the Lakshmi Rekha there. Sometimes you can see that on certain Shalagram Shilas also. But she didn't. She got a vision of the rasa dance, but she wasn't able to enter because the conditions, you know, were there that she should become a follower of the gopis to enter. And it was difficult for her. She, you know, in her position as Lakshmi, she has full awareness of the glories of her husband Lord Narayan. He's the Lord. He's the absolute truth. He's the person that's worshipped in all the Vedas. He's the, you know, cause of everything. You know, she knows the full glories of the Lord, and she serves him in full consciousness of that. So she has a mood of serving him as a wife in the Aishwarya above. But in Vrindavan, there is some background knowledge that, you know, Krishna, you know, may be something. You know, he may be, you know, a great demigod, or he may be even an incarnation of Lord Narayan, or, you know, he may be, Lord Narayan may enter his body to protect him at different times. You know, the different Rajbasis have different ways that they process Krishna's occasional displays of power in Vraja. But that's always in the background, and for them, Krishna is Krishna. He's their best friend. He's their most darling child, or the most charming young boy in the neighborhood, or he's their most dear lover. And that's in the foreground, and they deal with him on a platform of human interaction, of relationship, intimate relationship. And so Lakshmi wasn't able to shift over to that. So she got a vision of the Rasalila, and she became the Lakshmi Rekha, but she was not able to enter into the Rasalila like that. So there was some discussion between Vyankatapata and Lord Chaitanya on this point. And So when it came to the end of the 4 months, they didn't want to let Lord Chaitanya go from Sri Rangam. They were begging him to stay, and especially when the last few days were coming, then they were feeling so much anxiety that now he'll go. And especially small Gopal fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he was, you know, crying and so much, couldn't stand the thought of him going. So then Lord Chaitanya agreed to stay even a few more days. And then eventually he managed to keep traveling. But that was a very formulative time in the life of young Gopal Bhatta Goswami at that time. And Lord Chaitanya also left an instruction with Gopal Bhatta at that time that for now your parents are old, so you stay with them and you serve them until their time has come. You take care of them. And later, you know, when it's time, then you go to Vrindavan and you stay with my devotees, Rupa and Sanatan in Vraja. So then he had this instruction to look forward to. So then, you know, he was always serving his parents, and in the meantime, he took many lessons in the Shastri. He learnt all the Bhakti Shastras and all the Pancharatra from his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. Sometimes it's said that Prabodhananda Saraswati was his guru, as would be natural. He learned all the Shastras from his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. And then later, his parents, as they were old and as they were about to depart, then they told him that, now, see, Lord Chaitanya has told you to go to Vrindavan. Now it is our time to depart. Now, you don't hesitate. You go to Vrindavan. And so they left shortly thereafter, and he went to Vrindavan. And he arrived there, and he met Rupa and Sanatan, and they... Actually, when Lord Chaitanya had passed through and met Rupa and Sanatan before, he had given a hint that one boy may come one day, one boy named Gopal, he may come one day, and you should take care of him when he comes. So they were kind of expecting him to show up one day, and he did. And they sent a letter to Lord Chaitanya that he has arrived. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya was in the house of Gadadhar Pandit in Puri. And he got this letter and he was very happy. Oh, Gopal, he has arrived in Vraja. He's with Rupa and Sanatan. And then he wanted to send something to show his love, to reciprocate with Gopal Bhatta. So he sent his upper and lower cloth, his sannyas uttariya, and his loincloth also. And he also sent his wooden sitting place. Sometimes when Lord Chaitanya would do Gayatri or worship the Lord, he would have one wooden sitting place that he would sit on. And so he sent that as tadiya to Gopal Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta, later he would use that in his worship of Radharaman or his worship of the Shalagrams. He would sit on it at that time for the worship of the Lord, and he would also worship the clothes that Lord Chaitanya had sent him. So, yes, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he stayed here in Vraja, and over the course of many years, he wrote, or he took part in a few prominent books that are in our line. He was very humble, actually. So much so that when Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was given the order, he was requested by the Saivite of Madan Mohan Temple and by so many other devotees that to write about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, the later pastimes that he had heard about every day from Raghunath Das Goswami. So he took this task upon his head, and he was going around and asking all the different devotees in Vraja for their blessings before he started. And so when he came to ask Gopal Bhatta Goswami, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, yes, this is very amazing that you'll be doing this job. I give you my full blessings, but I just have one request. Please do not mention my name anywhere in this book. Do not talk about me. So that was his conditional blessings. He was humble. He didn't feel himself to be important among Lord Chaitanya's associates, but of course he was very much so. So therefore we hear Gopabhatta's name mentioned here and there in passing in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but there's no chapters like there are for Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das Goswami and the others. There's no detailed writings about him there, but there's something mentioned later in Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti. So from that we know some things, and also from the tradition of the Radharaman Goswamis, they've also preserved their tradition very nicely, so from that we also know some things. So we mentioned that he took part in many writings, so he actually did the groundwork, or he worked as a team with some of the other Goswamis to make some of the books, like the Shatsandavas, the six Sandavas that are mainly accredited to Jiva Goswami. Actually, he laid the foundational work. He did the groundwork, the karikas, or the essential points in verses for memorization. That initial work was actually done by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And again, he wasn't mentioned by name in the beginning of Tattva Sandava, but Jiva Goswami says in the beginning of Tattva Sandava that, I'm taking and I'm expanding upon the works of a certain dear Brahmana from South India. And we all know who that is. That was Gopal Bhatta Goswami. A Dakshinatya Brahmana, he uses those words. So, also, the same thing is there in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It was some kind of joint venture by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Jai Sri Sri Gaurani Tai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Ki Jai. Sometimes it's said that there's a Lagu Hari Bhakti Vilas, and that the commentary Digdarshini was written by Gopal Bhatta and later expanded by Sanatana Goswami, and out of humility it was put under Sanatana Goswami's name. So somehow or other they were working together on it, that's for sure. The exact details, there's different opinions about that. But sometimes if you go to the Vrindavan Research Institute, for example, you can see they have many manuscripts of Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sometimes it's mentioned under the name of Bhagavat Bhakti Vilas, and it's often attributed there to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But they work together on that. And of course, Sanatana Goswami did a large portion of that too. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how much instructions Lord Chaitanya gave him that were to be mentioned in the book. So again, the groundwork, some of the initial groundwork, some sutra form of the book, if you like, was made by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and later expanded by Sanatana Goswami. And he wrote other books too. He wrote a very nice commentary on Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita was a very beloved book by all the Goswamis at that time. As we know the history, it was unearthed by Lord Chaitanya in the Adikeshava temple in South India. And it was a very nice book. At the time, there was not that many books that had a lot of detailed description about Krishna's personality and his pastimes. There was a few books here and there, but Krishna Karnamrita was a jewel among them. And so Gopal Bhatta Goswami wrote a commentary on that, and he also wrote Satkriya Saradipika, which is a Vaishnava way of doing all the samskaras. So these were various important literary contributions that he left. And also, he left a very great heritage in the form of the worship of Sri Sri Radha Raman. So, I think we've all heard some pastimes about that, but we'll start with his trip to Nepal. So, Yeah, he had a dream actually that he was longing for darshan of the Lord, and somehow the Lord came in a dream and said, you'll find me in Nepal. And so he went there, and of course at that time it wasn't probably called Nepal. It's probably part of India still at that time. But in Nepal is where Shalagram Shilas are found, and where there's the Kali Gandaki River. And as you know from the story of the life of Tulsi Devi from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that at the end of that pastime, if you know the pastime, Tulsi Devi cursed Lord Narayan, we better step back and tell it in brief, otherwise the ending won't make so much sense. But that Tulsi, in that life, she had been doing austerities to get Lord Narayan as her husband. And Lord Brahma appeared to her and rewarded her worship, rewarded her austerities, and said, yes, you will get Lord Narayan as your husband. I give you that benediction. It will come true. But for now, it is the desire of the Lord that you should marry this great devotee, sometimes he's called Sankachuda also? Is there another name? Is Jala... What is the other name? Jalandhar. Yeah, thank you. Jalandhar. So, he was a great devotee. It goes back to the spiritual world. He was one of the cowherd boys, and Tulasi was... sometimes said to be one of the gopis there who had enjoyed with Krishna at a time when Krishna was supposed to be meeting Radharani, so Radharani became angry. And anyway, there was somehow or other feelings between this gopi and this particular cowherd boy. I think it was Sudama, if I'm not mistaken. And so there was some pastime that they ended up becoming married as Tulasi and Sankachuda. But Sankachuda, somehow or other, he was very powerful, and he was taking over some of the power of the demigods, and he was on that program. And so the demigods, they approached Lord Shiva to be able to defeat him, but he couldn't actually be defeated as long as he had this special amulet that he was wearing, a special necklace. I think it was, does anybody remember? Was it given by Krishna? I seem to remember something to that effect. He couldn't be destroyed as long as he was wearing that necklace, and also as long as the chastity of his wife Tulsi was intact, because she was such a virtuous woman. So Lord Shiva, I think, came in disguise, and he came in the form of a brahmana and begged in charity that amulet, and that way they got rid of that, one of the means of his being invincible. And then Lord Narayan had to do the task of taking away Tulsi Devi's chastity for the sake of the demigods. But it was actually a pastime, because Tulsi had worshipped for 60,000 years Lord Brahma to get the benediction to get Lord Narayan as her husband. So he was coming to fulfill that desire, but in a bit of a sneaky way, which is why he later, in the middle of the battlefield, when Lord Shiva and also even Lord Shiva's wife was on the battlefield in the form of her, one of her fearsome forms, with so many arms and so many garlands of heads around her neck and so on, they were on the battlefield and they were about to, they were engaged in battle with Sankachuda. So then, at that time, Lord Narayan entered the palace where Tulsi Devi was waiting, and he pretended to be actually her husband, and he pretended that he was coming back from the battle victorious, and that they should celebrate in their private chambers, according to tradition. And so then, during those intimate moments, Tulsi could understand that this looks like my husband, but there's some behavior which is a little different. And so she could understand everything by her spiritual potency that actually only one person could have done this. And she knew what it would mean, that if her chastity was broken. So she became very angry that, I know who you are. You are Lord Narayan, and I wanted you as my husband, but now you've come in this very deceitful way, and you've tricked me like this so that my real husband can be killed. And you know, you're very heartless. Your heart is as hard as a stone, she said. So therefore I curse you to become a stone. And that's the Shalagram Shilas. The stone, the Shila form. Shila means stone, right? It's the stone form of Lord Narayan. So there's a place in Nepal, high up in the mountains. It's actually in a restricted area. I think you have to pay some exorbitant amount of money to be able to get like a one-day visa, and you have to fly up there in a helicopter. It's called Damodar Kund, and I don't think any of our ISKCON devotees have managed to go up there yet, because it's not so easy. But that's where the Shalagrams are found, and they come downstream. They come downstream, come down the Kali Gandaki River, and you can find them in Muktinath and Kagbeni and places that are a little bit high up on the Annapurna mountain circuit. So when Lord Narayan was cursed like that, then he said, okay, I accept your curse. I will become, I will accept the form of a stone, but on one condition, that you become, your hair will become the tulsi tree, and your body, when you depart, your body will become the Kali Gandaki River. So the Shalagrams are found in the Kali Gandaki River, which is, if you want, it's like liquid tulsi, so to speak. The hair of Tulsi Devi's body became the tulsi plant, and her body became the tulsi river. So it's very pure. I went there one time, and it's a very wonderful experience to go up there. And I was drinking the water of Kali Gandaki every day. It's very, very invigorating. It's the nicest water I've ever drunk, actually, in my life. And you can just feel it's very potent. It's liquid Tulsi Devi. It's Maha Abhishek of who knows how many Shalagram Shilas are in there. So it's very pure. It's very fast also. It's not very deep. When I was there, it was maybe knee-high in some places, but it's extremely fast because it's coming down from the mountains. So it's got that slope, it's got that speed, so you can't, and it's extremely cold, you can't really step in there. But I found a few Shalagrams in the Kali Gandaki River, and also in some other places around the area too. So it's a very wonderful experience. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he went up there after having this dream, and he went to all the various pilgrimage places there, and he went to the Kali Gandaki River, and when he was filling his water pot in the Kali Gandaki River, then some Shalagrams jumped into his water pot, and he thought, oh, what is this? But he went and he poured them back into the river. He thought, I'm not fit for worshipping the Lord, or I'm just a mendicant, and I don't have any means to do proper worship. You know, I'm living under a different tree every day. How will I take care of them? So he put them back in, and again he went to fill his water pot again to get some drinking water. Again they jumped back in, and again he put them back in. The third time they jumped back in, so he said, they must want me to serve them. They must want to come to Vrindavan. So he brought those 12 Shalagram Shilas to Vrindavan, and he was worshipping them. And one day on Nasringa Chaturdasi, some wealthy merchant devotee came, and he had some different fancy cloth and some fancy ornaments that he was offering. He gave some to the other Goswamis, and he wanted to give some to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta accepted, but then he was thinking, I wish I had, you know, a deity form of Krishna, some, you know, form that I could use this nice cloth and ornaments for. And so he did at, you know, he did his Nisringa Chaturdasi celebrations and so on, and put the shalagrams to rest. And when he woke up in the morning and went to wake up the shalagrams, he saw that one of his shilas, the Damodar shila, had transformed into his beautiful, charming deity of Krishna, who later became known as Radha Raman. And he was really beautiful. He's self-manifest, so, you know, actually even among deities, he's so detailed. If you go there, you can see, you know, even in his deity form, you can see his little jasmine bud teeth, his fingernails. You don't see that detail. It's not possible, usually, on carved deities, especially carved deities of that size. So he's very... It's very special, very beautiful, manifesting himself in so much beauty and detail. And I think I was reading that even some scientists came to Radharaman Goswami and they wanted to check the claims about him, his being self-manifest. So the pujaris supervised them and they inspected the deity and they came to the conclusion actually that the amount of detail that's there in Radharaman and the special, there's no signs of any carving. They said, okay, well, we cannot say that there's any evidence of any carving here. They couldn't dispute the fact that he was self-manifested. So, when that shalagram manifested as Radharaman, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was amazed. Oh, you know, Krishna, he fulfilled my desire, and he was like really amazed, very blissful. And he called the other Goswamis, and they all came there very fast to see, and they found, wow, this is a very perfect manifestation of Krishna. Sometimes it's said, right, that some of the other three main deities, the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana deities, are perfect in their beauty in different parts of their body. It's said that they were made at the time of just after Krishna's disappearance, that they were made by Vajranabha, the great grandson of Krishna. And that each of those three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath, were shown to Uttara, who was one of the people that still was on the planet at that time, who personally had seen Krishna many times and knew exactly what his features looked like. So each of those deities were shown to Uttara for like verification, like does this look like Krishna exactly. So for Madan Mohan, it said that he resembles Krishna from the waist down. He exactly resembles Krishna. And from the waist up to the neck, Govinda Dev exactly resembles Krishna. And Uttara said that Gopinath most resembled Krishna in terms of his face. But when the Goswamis saw Radharaman, they saw that in all three parts of his body, he exactly resembled Krishna. And you can see that, you know, Radharaman's chest, is sometimes it's said Krishna's chest is like the chest of a lion, like, you know, very broad chest, but a very thin stomach. Also sometimes the example is given of a conch shell. If you put a conch shell upside down, then it's like the top part is very wide, but it tapers to a thin end, right? So his fingers are short, and you know all of the measurements and all the form of Krishna is very, it's very, very much there in the form of Radharaman. So he would sit on that wooden seat that Lord Chaitanya had given him, and he would worship Radharaman. And there was an occasion also that once he was worshipping Krishna like this, but then he was feeling guilty. He was feeling guilty that my parents, they told me that you should become great devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I'm worshipping Krishna. I should be somehow or other worshipping Lord Chaitanya too. So when he thought that, then all of a sudden Radharaman manifested before him the form of Lord Chaitanya, and he was astonished. And then, you know, the next moment he looked again, it was, you know, Radharaman. So there was this special. Also, another time that there was actually, it was during this time when Lord Chaitanya was staying at Gopalabhata's house when he was a young boy. I forgot to mention this earlier, that Gopalabhata, at that time, he was thinking, now Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, and it's so austere to live the life of a sannyasi, and, you know, he's shaved off all of his beautiful hair, and, you know, I'm so unfortunate, I didn't get to see him at the time when he was in Navadvip, when he was, you know, when he was married to the goddess of fortune, when he had beautiful long black hair and golden dhoti, and when he was dancing and, you know, every night nocturnal sankirtan in the home of his devotees. And I was so unfortunate, I didn't get to see that. So one time when he went and saw Lord Chaitanya, he offered obeisances to his lotus feet as a small boy, and Lord Chaitanya showed that form actually of Navadvip Chandra, of his form at that time in Navadvip, you know, as a young Brahmana, married Brahmana, doing sankirtan. And then he showed his form as Krishna. And then Gopalabhata was stunned, and he again offered obeisances, and when he looked up, he was back in his sannyas roop. So, yeah, he had many experiences of that showed him that, you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, that the non-difference of Krishna and of Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. So Gopalabhata, he stayed in Vrindavan, like we mentioned, for 45 years, and he lived until he was about 75 years old. And it's said in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika that he's one of the very dear associates of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. His Guna Manjari, it's one of the eight main manjaris in the spiritual world. So the six Goswamis, as well as Krishnadas Kaviraj and Lokanath Goswami, make up the eight main manjaris. So he is very important Goswami in our line. So I'll end here. If anybody has any extra pastimes that they'd like to add, or any questions. Okay, so we'll end here. Shri Gopalabhati Tirubhav Maha Mahotsavaki Jai Koho Premandi.